Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Keep Chopping Wood. This is your host, Zach Goodall. Today we're going to be doing the rapid reaction of the Jaguars-Chiefs game. Be sure to go subscribe on iTunes, follow the Keep Chopping Wood handle on Twitter, at Keep Chopping Wood. Leave those 5-star ratings. We know you love us. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't be here. We're on our 22nd episode so far, and I didn't know we'd ever make it this far, but I mean, I guess we're doing a pretty good job. But anyway, we're going to get straight into it, and we're going to start talking Chiefs and Jaguars. So we came into this game thinking that the Chiefs were going to blow out the Jaguars because the Chiefs were playing at home, even without their starting quarterback and their second-string running back, who's I think he's good enough to start in most other places. But they were going with their third-string running back as well. And they were a very, like, injured team coming into the game, but we still thought that my thought was the Chiefs would win 31-13 or something like that. But the Chiefs ended up winning 19-14 in what seemed like a little bit better of a game by the Jaguars offense than usual, because I believe that comes with the new offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett, and his play calling was a lot better than what I've seen out of Greg Olsen. But all in all, the Jaguars fell short. There were a lot of dumb mistakes by Blake Bortles. You know, it's the same thing over and over again. And then, so I'm going to go ahead and bring on Chase Snyder. He's a big Chiefs fan. He also does a lot of PA announcing work with football. So, Chase, how's it going, man?
Hey, long time no talk. What's up, Zach?
Oh, yeah, we're going to be making a couple of those jokes earlier. Also, a little known fact about Chase is that he is Joe Buck's future son-in-law. So just be sure to remember that 20 years down the road when he's married to Trudy Buck and he's a famous announcer that he started here on this podcast with me. But so,
hey,
anyway.
You're invited to
hell yeah, that's what's up. But so I'll go ahead and ask you, what's one positive takeaway you'd take from each team today?
Let's start with the Jaguars. I think the offense got into a rhythm, especially on the ground with the new offensive coordinator, Hackett. And with the Chiefs, I guess the defense is still doing its thing with the turnovers. D Ford looks amazing. I wouldn't expect to say that. I wasn't expecting to say that before the season. I think he's leading the league with 9 sacks so far. Travis Kelce one-on-one with Prince Amukamara was unfair for Jacksonville. And they got the win with Nick Foles starting for him, even though he played like crap. So I'll take that any day of the week. They're 6-2.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You know, these Chiefs, they're good, even with their backups in. And granted, they were playing a shitty Jaguars team. But regardless, this is a 6-2 team. And with their starters back, they've got a scary-looking defense. You said about Nathaniel Hackett and his play calling, and I completely agree because I haven't seen through the first 7 games of the year, the Jaguars were very much going against what they did in 2015, and they were calling plays that didn't really match the strength of their offense. And today, right from the get-go, you could see that Hackett was willing to target players in ways that they could impact, like, in the best way possible, whether it be letting Chris Ivory become more of a power back or do more zone blocking. He's much better running coordinator than people give him credit for, which could be seen when he was with Buffalo and the running attack he had with Fred Jackson and CJ Spiller. But the Jaguars totaled 205 rushing yards today, and going into the game, they only had 508 on the season. So they did 40% of what they had all season in just today's game. So I like to see that out of them. And then you said with Nick Foles, because, I mean, I thought he was going to torch Jacksonville. I thought he was going to put up 300 yards and 3 touchdowns because of what I saw last week. And he didn't have a good game either, and he still ended up getting the win, him in Kansas City. So I think Kansas City's got a team
wins,
that's
brother.
Got
TV
a lot
wins.
Of depth. Yeah. What was that?
Yeah, you could totally see the inaccuracy issues Nick Foles has, and that's why Alex Smith is the best quarterback for the Chiefs because they're more of a rhythm, especially with Alex's accuracy. Foles has the better arm, but Smith by far has the better accuracy.
And that's what fits the offense with the receivers he's got. And I know Macklin ended up leaving the game early, but the weapons he's got, you know, they need a real accurate quarterback, and that's what Alex Smith is. So then what's a negative takeaway you have from each team since we did the positives?
Oh, man. With the Jaguars, I think it's their coaching. it's just an undisciplined team. And Blake Bortles just does not look what he was doing last season. With the Chiefs, I guess I'd have to go with Nick Foles. Probably should have done better than he did today. He's just so inaccurate.
Yeah, especially what we saw last week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, last week, didn't he put up
he
like...
He looked really good against the Colts last
yeah.
week.
Yeah, it was honestly, it was a solid outing. We hadn't seen that from him in a while since maybe he was with the Eagles back a couple years back when he had that great 27-touchdown season. But it looked good last week, and then...
What a good year.
Right? And I was talking to someone about that, and like, yeah, his box score was fantastic that year. I mean, he was decent, but honestly, like, he looked like an all-star. Now he's a decent backup.
And the Chiefs are lucky to have him. He knows the system. He's a good backup to have, but I don't want him starting a full 16 slate for me.
Oh, no.
Because you get what you got
no,
last
I'd
year
agree.
With starting for the Rams.
Well,
but
if we're talking quarterback.
You can do what he did today, just
yeah.
control the ball. You can do what he did today, just control the ball, make decent throws, win the game, you know. It's all you need from a backup quarterback.
Well, if we're talking quarterbacks, I know you said that Alex Smith is right now the guy that the Chiefs need to be starting. However, like over the past couple years, you know, people see that he's the quarterback that puts up, I don't know how many touchdowns a year, and he's a good, accurate quarterback, but do you think that over the next couple of years, there might be an investment in a long-term starter, or do you think he's still going to be that guy for a while?
Yeah, I think they're going to look long-term in the near future, maybe even this year. There was a bunch of rumors going around draft night in 2014 that they were going to draft Manziel if he got to Kansas City. How would Johnny Manziel's career look if he went to Kansas City with Andy Reid as opposed to the Browns? And then last year, this past draft, Kansas City was rumored to be interested in Paxton Lynch, and they were supposed to take him at 28, but the Broncos leaped in front of him and got him. I hate the Broncos.
Yeah, who doesn't hate
but
the Broncos,
I expect it this year. My favorite quarterback, I think it's your favorite quarterback, too, is Patrick Mahomes. My God.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be phenomenal wherever he goes. Wherever he goes, he's going to have to take some time and just, like, learn to run a pro-style offense from his air raid offense that he has at Texas Tech. But, I mean, he's got the raw tools to be fantastic. He's got a cannon.
He's the only reason
cannon,
Texas
dude.
Tech is actually relevant, you know?
Exactly. Like, they're in... I don't know how many games. I think they've played 9 games this year, and they're like a 1-8, 0-9 kind of team without him. I mean, there's so many holes everywhere else on that team.
I just want
yeah,
to
so,
see him make a bowl game to see him be successful.
Yeah, I'd love that. So, what are your thoughts then on the Jaguars' offense as a whole compared to if you saw much throughout the first 7 games of the year with their then-coordinator Olsen versus now with Hackett? Like, I know you said you seemed impressed with his play calling, but they seemed to me like they were a little more in sync in targeting players and, like, what they're good at. But, I mean, what did you see?
Yeah, I think Hackett is playing to the player's strengths, especially on the ground. You were saying today they had over 500 yards on the ground before today, and today they had 200 yards. That's pretty impressive, considering when you have T.J. Yeldon and Chris Ivory and you're playing to those strengths you have. What else?
Allen Robinson
yeah, and
seemed
they
a little more decent.
Allen Robinson
yeah.
involved, yeah. Yeah, I think you just
yeah,
said
cause,
it.
Yeah,
because,
I mean,
they
he's had a bad year this year, but he was able to make some plays out there today, and he had some plays where it looked like he didn't show. Like there was that one play where he was open and Blake overthrew him deep, and at the same time it was a
bad
pass we're used to. It was a
bad
pass, but at the same time, like put your arms up. Like I think
yeah.
he could have made an effort on the ball considering what we
that
know
play
he
is. All
is
messed
but,
up.
Yeah,
play is
it's
all messed
everywhere.
Up.
It's that's what happens when Blake Bortles is your quarterback.
Oh, he was the king of my vine today.
Yeah, it's I'm not even going to take to Vine anymore. Vine's dead. But so then back to the Chiefs. You brought up Dee Ford, and I actually was high on him when he was he came out of Auburn 2 years ago, and I was thinking in 2014.
2014.
Yeah, I was, because I knew the Jaguars needed to address their pass rush. They had Andre Branch and Chris Clemens as their primary pass rushers, and that was just about as good as having Hank and Sully as your primary pass rushers. And I was thinking he'd be a guy that if he fell to the second, maybe the Jaguars could try and snag or maybe trade into the late first to try and get. But the Chiefs ended up scooping him, and people had their mixed thoughts on him. He didn't seem to be doing that well so far with the Chiefs. But now, like you said, you think what he's got like 9 sacks this year. In last week's game,
nine
he had 3.5. Yeah,
yes,
then
3.5
today
last
he had another
two.
What are your thoughts on him so far this year? Is he good? Do you think he's going to be a real good pass rusher?
I am so impressed with his progress this year. It's amazing to me that he leads the league in sacks. And it's just, I thought the pass rush would be a liability because Justin Houston was going to be out the first half of the year. He's supposed to be back against Carolina, which should be huge down the stretch. We'll probably get to that later. But D4 being good makes the Chiefs so much more dangerous.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, watching him today, the main reason. I mean, Bortles being bad is going to lose this team games, but at the same time, there were times where Bortles actually looked decent today, and then D Ford showed up and just ate him.
Yeah, he's on a tear, and he wasn't playing against any slouch today either in Parnell.
No, I mean, Parnell is not a good run blocker, but he's been pretty good in pass protection this year, and he's a big dude. I think he's 6'8", 300-some. And, I mean, D Ford isn't the biggest dude on the planet either.
No, he's 6'3", 250, I think, and that might be stretching it.
Mm. But, yeah, I mean, he seemed pretty impressive, and today he showed that against a decent pass protection from the Jaguars, which is something I think I've seen all year in the Jaguars, that people want to blame their offensive line. But, I mean, their pass protection is pretty good. So D Ford had himself a pretty good day for the second week in a row.
Good day. I'm very pleased to say the least.
Yeah. So then Travis Kelce was, he was all over Prince Amukamara today. And, I mean, he was having a great game. It was unfair to Amukamara. And I don't think Amukamara is that good. I know some people tend to disagree with me, but I mean, I just don't think he's that good. The Jaguars need to target a cornerback this offseason, whether it be free agency or in the draft. And I'll get to that on another episode with draft talk and all that shit. But for now, Amukamara was just eaten alive by Travis Kelce. And then there was the play in the end zone where Kelce was targeted, and it was clear that Prince Amukamara hooked on to him, what should have been a PI call, but the refs didn't call it. Travis Kelce threw a fit. He was arguing with the refs. He mouthed off and ended up throwing his towel at one of the refs, pretending to throw a flag. What was your reaction to how he was acting on the field, which led to his ejection?
Well, one, you're right. It should have been a flag. It was clear as day that he was hooking him around his right shoulder. Two, he's got to be smarter than that, I think. Even though, he's just got to be smarter. I have no other words than that. You can't take your flag out. You take your towel out, I should say, and throw it right at the referee. You're going to get two.
Yeah.
Two unfortunate penalties on that, and you're going to get thrown out.
Being a Jaguars fan, I don't get entertained by much in football anymore. But, I mean, that was entertaining for the little bit. It was dumb, but, I mean, it was fun. It was fun to watch. And then the Jaguars found a way to ruin it by mocking him when he was ejected. Just typical Jaguars because they have nothing to celebrate. Aaron Colvin was pretending to throw a flag in the air as well when he got ejected too. And I was just like, dude, stop. You're supposed to be a good corner, supposed to be a fourth-round steal when he fell back in the draft, and he doesn't have a single interception to his name.
Oh, God.
And then Kelce took to Twitter after the game too, and I knew you pointed out a tweet to me where he said, "What my grandma could have made that call." Sorry, grandma.
Oh, yeah, let me pull it up. Word for word.
Yeah, doing that made it look a little worse. I know he deleted it after and then handled it a little better, saying he apologized or whatever. But all in all, it just was kind of a disturbance I don't think the Chiefs really needed. But at the same time, they ended up winning without him. So kind of ends up being whatever. We'll see if he faces any more punishment from the league. But so,
he'll probably just get
do you think the
fine. That'll be the end of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, I don't know if it'll be one of those like $9,000 ones or if it'll go to the next level. I mean, Josh Norman said that he thought a ref was stupid or an idiot or something like that and got fined $25K. So we'll have to see how that goes. But so what are your thoughts on the Chiefs as a playoff contender when they're healthy? Do you think that they can compete?
I absolutely think they can compete, especially when – we were talking about it earlier, when Justin Houston gets back, that's going to be huge for them, especially with Dee Ford actually being somewhat of a player. And then Tom Bahali is a complimentary piece now. And then on offense, you have I still don't know what they're going to do with Jamal, if he's going to come back to the playoffs or not. But if they can run it with Spencer Ware and Wes can get something done. He didn't look that good today, but he can still run, I think. All in all, I think they can make a deep run to the playoffs, especially if they get the 2 seed and win the division, because that's what it seems like. It's what it's, it is. Sorry, slipped up there for a second.
No, that's all good.
What it's down to the 2 seed. I think all the Broncos and the Raiders. I'm watching that game now. The Broncos and the Raiders are going to make the playoffs, and the Chiefs are going to make the playoffs. It just matters on the seeding, and there's 3 big games for the Chiefs. They have a game at Denver the Thanksgiving weekend. Then they host the Raiders on Thursday night, and then they play the Broncos at Arrowhead on Christmas night, which I'll be there, which will be a fun game to be at. But if they win 2 of those 3, I think they have a good chance of being the 2 seed and going far, especially with Andy Reid off the bye.
Yeah, I know.
19-3 off the bye, which is stupid.
Jeez, that's insane. I mean, I think people undervalue Andy Reid for the coach he is, but I mean, he was good in Philadelphia when he led that Donovan McNabb team to the Super Bowl against the Patriots, and he had his couple of rough years at the end of his tenure in Philadelphia and ended up coming to the Chiefs, and suddenly he's put together a good team and he's got a good defense. I think he can take them pretty far, whereas I think the Jaguars will finish like 4-12, and that's me being generous. Like, maybe they'll beat Tennessee. Maybe they'll be able to beat Houston next week if Brock Osweiler plays like Brock Osweiler, but I mean...
Oh, Brock Osweiler. I live here in Houston, and Brock Osweiler is horrendous.
Oh, he's awful. So bad. He's the worst quarterback in the league,
so
and Blake Bortles is in this league. Like,
he's by far the worst quarterback in the division, for sure.
I'd take Nick Foles over Osweiler.
I don't think that's a stretch either.
No, I think he's a little more – I know we've said that Foles has the cannon, but I'd still say Foles is probably more accurate than Osweiler. I don't see anything special about Osweiler's game. And the Texans have just completely hanged themselves in guaranteeing that contract to him. It's just, they're going to have a lot of problems with money down the road considering what they had to spend. And that might start this offseason with trying to re-sign A.J. Boye at corner. It was a total hanking.
I cannot believe the Texans downgraded from the Brian Hoyer, Brandon Whedon. Who else did they have back there? Ryan Mallett, quarterback, foursome to Brock Osweiler. It's truly amazing.
Yeah. I'd take all 4 of them over Osweiler right now. I have a rotation going
on. It's amazing.
On.
And I watched Brian Hoyer in person twice.
Honestly, he's kind of fun. People don't want to say it, but he's kind of fun.
He's a fun bad. Brock Osweiler is just a horrendous watch.
He's boring. He's dumb, and he's
tall
petty.
Tall and lanky. Yes. Tall, lanky, and corny.
Yeah, it's all bad. The AFC South is all bad. But so, what would you predict for the Chiefs' final record this season? We're halfway through. 8 games through. You got 8 more. What are you thinking? They said it's 6-2 now.
They're 6-2 right now. I think they're the two toughest games they have coming up are both on the road. They have back-to-back weeks. They go to Denver, and they have to go to Atlanta. I think they lose both of those games. Other than that, I don't really see a loss on their schedule other than those 2 games. I think they finished 11-5, 12-4 in that range. they really need to win the division if they want to go far in the AFC. And this, the NFL this year is so wide open. The only the elite team I think there is the Patriots, and that's about it. And they have their flaws.
Yeah, that's what I've been thinking. Like, people came in thinking the AFC would be so much better this year, whether it was the high hopes for even the teams like the Jaguars and stuff like that, and people were thinking, oh, the Patriots and the Steelers are the two teams to beat, and the Steelers suck. Even when they've had Ben this year, they've had so many problems. I'm from Pittsburgh, so they're the second team I watch, and, I mean, good God, it's bad. They have no run defense. Jay Ajayi, like, broke out for what looks to be – he might end up being a good running back now because he broke out against
the
Steelers.
He's still looking good.
Yeah, he's put – it's like 500 yards and four touchdowns in three games, but that was the that was the breakout game he needed, and it came against the worst rush defense in the NFL. That's a bit of a stretch, but, I mean, they're bad.
It's bad.
It's
so terrible.
Steve Smith was even ripping into them. Yeah. Steve Smith even said that he thinks that his kids – would be better up against Mike Mitchell, their starting free safety right now, or something of the sort.
It's the most Steve Smith quote I've ever heard.
Yeah. I don't know what his problem is. He's like 37 years old with a Napoleon complex, and he's talking shit to all these like dudes like Jalen Ramsey and Mike Mitchell who are not afraid to go for people's heads. I don't know.
And Jalen Ramsey.
Well, anyway, Yeah, Jalen Ramsey. What did you think of him, seeing him today?
I didn't really notice him, so I guess that's a good sign.
Yeah,
I just noticed
that's what it's been the past
Kamara
couple
on the
week.
Other side.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's been.
Kamara on the other side.
Yeah, against Oakland, too. I got into a fight with Raiders Twitter because they were saying that, Ramsey didn't shut down Cooper, and I was like, he played 26 snaps on him. Like, and he allowed one catch for 4 yards. And then they went to saying, they just didn't target Cooper because Prince is bad. And I was like, well, yeah, sure, but I mean, Ramsey's good. Like, you're targeting the bad corner because the other corner is really good and shutting down your number one receiver. But yeah, Prince is bad. They're all bad.
Andy in the second half started putting Kelsey on Amu Kamara before Kelsey got thrown out. And Amu Kamara just couldn't do anything about it. Kelsey's too big and too fast on that matchup, especially on that third down and seven slant, if I remember correctly. He's got a huge conversion there. That's what
I mean, without his
injuries, throwing him out.
Without his injuries and without some of his disciplinary stuff, like, Kelsey's very much like Gronk.
Yeah,
it's a bold take, but, I mean, I'll take it. They're the same kind of tight end. They're so good.
I think Gronk is a little bit bigger, and Kelsey's a little bit more faster.
Yeah.
A little more athletic.
Kelsey is
fast. They have the same strengths, I think. They have the same strengths, that's for sure. And they're both 87, so they just look the same.
Exactly. They're pretty much the same guy. Just a little bit of a size and speed difference, but otherwise pretty much the exact same thing.
And one has Tom Brady. That's just unfair.
Yeah, it is a bit unfair. I saw a take the other day that someone was saying Brady shouldn't be the MVP and it should be Matt Ryan because the Patriots could win with Jimmy Garoppolo, but the Falcons couldn't win without Matt Ryan. Like,
That's a hot take.
I would be embarrassed to be that guy. Whoever said that, he was some dude with like 50 followers and somehow he came onto my timeline.
I mean, Matt Ryan's been good, but wow.
Yeah.
Didn't
Matt
they get
Ryan
shut out by the Bills with Jimmy Garoppolo, or was that Brissett?
I think that was Brissett, and Brissett end up getting hurt too or something in that game?
Yeah, I think he broke his thumb. Oh,
yeah,
something
like that.
Let me take a look at that box score. That was week four. That was a weird game.
It was a weird game, and that was the only loss that, yeah. Yeah, the Jaguars won that week. It must have been really weird.
And the Chiefs got obliterated by the Steelers that week, if you remember that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Pittsburgh was
43-14.
That is their redemption week. Yeah, 43-14, and the Chiefs have won four in a row since that game.
They really do look like a
pretty
team
impressive.
That can put it together.
Yeah, that was
well, anyway,
set.
Yeah.
He went 17 to 27, 205 yards.
Geez. I mean, they're all system quarterbacks. All system quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah. I got to throw my guy.
That's a bit of a joke. You can hold that one against me, but that's a little bit of a joke.
My guy, Tiger Dan, 04 on Twitter, thinks that Tom Brady really is a system quarterback.
Good God.
I really wish I was making that take up, but that's a real take.
I don't know where people get stuff like that. Like, go win 3 or 4 Super, whatever Brady's at. I don't even bother keeping track anymore. But like, that doesn't just come from being a system quarterback. Like, he's so damn good.
And he's 39 years old too, playing like this. He's sensational.
He's gonna play till he's 50.
Dude,
but,
I hope that'll play.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that'll just about wrap it up for us. It like I said, today was a bit of a tough game to watch from both sides. The Jaguars offense looked a little bit better coming out with Hackett, and the defense looked good. But at the same time, this is a Chiefs team that was really, you know, riddled by injuries and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to watching them play Houston next week. I just hope that they can, you know, lay the wood on Brock Osweiler, because that's really just what I need in my life, to hear that Dan Scuda came out of a pass rushing position just to sack Brock Osweiler. But anyway, thank you. Keep chopping wood, man. Well, anyway, Chase, thank you for coming on and discussing the game with us. If you guys don't follow Chase on Twitter, you can find him at Chasing Snyder. He's a big Packers God damn! Did I just say Packers? I'm tired. I'm tired today, man. I don't even know what I was freaking thinking. He's a big Chiefs fan. He's working on getting into announcing football games. He does a lot of that. He posts links for that, so you guys can definitely check it out and some of his hot takes. And keep in mind, like I said, 20 years down the road, he's going to be Joe Buck's son-in-law. He's going to end up like taking his daughter out on a date for the Super Bowl in Houston this year. So, if you have any last pitch you want to make, Chase, go ahead. Feel free to.
What's that?
If you have any last, like, pitch you want to make, anything on the game, or just shouting yourself out, feel free to.
Any more takes? The Jaguars need to improve coaching. The Chiefs just need to keep on winning, whoever their quarterback is.
Yep.
Bold take.
Well,
that'll
do it for us. Yeah, bold takes. But anyway, well, thank you guys for listening in to today's episode of Keep Chopping Wood. It was, like I said, episode 22. Be sure to go and subscribe on iTunes. You can also find us on SoundCloud. Follow the Keep Chopping Wood handle and the Big Cat Country handle on Twitter. And be sure to listen in this week as Bo and Hank will bring you their midweek show to sort of recap the game a little bit and then go into talking about Houston and just, you know, how bad this Jaguars team is. It's kind of the same old, but you guys come back anyway and listen. So thanks for listening in.